sales for the advisor really as provision. The second thing that before I forgot is that we won't have any the presentation will not be on a screen because there is no
project.
There's no project. So the teacher will take us through the
hard copies.
The hard copies that are in front of us. Having said that, we know today that after having listened to presentations that were submissions that were presented last week, we are then given an opportunity to government to respond on areas that were reflected on our presentation. So that is where we are now. That as one has reflected last week that this is the normal process that we do. So do anything else we have to ensure that the department responds. Because there are areas that they can be directed. So that will then be done through the Office of the Teacher. Having said that, members, we have got some couple of apologies. Honorable Matanga is attending. My apologies. It's introduction. For the benefit of those that may be coming for the first time, when they are to introduce themselves, they will use the mic and tell us their names, surnames, and where they are coming from. I'm Lindelwati Njwane, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Next to me is Robert Majalamba, who is the secretary to the Portfolio Committee on Health. At the back is Zubair, who is part of the research team. At the extreme right, close to the door, I don't know why she is seated there. As if she's not part of the team, Zimbabwe, who's the committee assistant. I'll then allow honorable members to introduce themselves. Thank you very much.
My name is Bonjour James.
Good morning, my name is Matwazo, chapter member of the board.
Good morning, my name is Krishna Sai.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Mulela Mkonto, member of this committee. Chair, if I may, I just wanted to make an apology because today is Tuesday and the Department of the Portfolio Committee and the Union of Cities would like me to be there.
Good morning, my name is Ms. Shuan from the National Department. Moving on, Secretary Fulton, Honourable Members of Parliament, as well as the delegation from the Department of Health. My name is Ashley Mene and I represent the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members, and Department has got a couple of apologies. Honourable Mapana is attending Solid Street today. Honourable Kobana is in the back commitment. Honourable Imam Sheikh is not able to attend, he's lost his sister. And the Honourable Adams, I also wish she would run late because she has indicated that she has just landed in Cape Town. Know that the apologies are good. Good. Thank you very much. Did you?
Chair, we also have the apologies. The minister is accompanying MC the
Parliament to the people.
Thank you. And the deputy minister is
Those are the apologies, honourable members. We will then, having received the apologies, we will then allow the department to take action. Over to you, teacher.
Thank you, honourable members. We prepared our apologies in full. But what we also like to do so that Parliament appreciates the amount of work that went into this. We have a list of minutes that we will share with you just to understand the process of engaging specifically The second part of our presentation is with specific reference to the bill and the comments that we But in addition, Chair, because there were specific issues raised by presenters, we also have documentation to respond to some of the questions. So we leave all the documents with the So I will start without wasting time. I will go to the second part of the document that we have. It's a template for catered submission. Now, in this template, we refer to the stakeholder, which part of the comments were made by the stakeholder, and what our response is. Our response is on the last column. For the first part, we react to the South African Medical Research Council. Like I said, this has been an elaborate process. It started in 2012. And from 2012, we've been engaging all stakeholders. And it is the minutes of all these consultations and meetings that I will share in this meeting today. It's a time like this, and I would like all of you to see where we start. With regard to the Medical Research Council, Chair, we looked at the function of MRC as provided for in the Act that establishes the Medical Research Council. And we outlined the function of the Medical Research Council. The function of the Human Science Research Council and the function of MRCA so that it is very clear that there are distinct functions. And Chair, may I also begin to say
Can I get the Bali? Can you assist that? Do you have this?
I have. Back with additional comments which we will not specifically react to at this stage. Chair, NIOH, NICD are part of NHLS, and when we formulated this bill, NIOH was part of that process, but they still came and presented comments. And Chair, also if you look, there is an official of the Department of Health who also sent his own comments. I'm just trying to show you that this is an area that has generated a lot of interest. So with regard to the MRC, our response, Chair, to the comments made by MRC, firstly, they are suggesting that in the long title of the bill, that research must be qualified to minimize overlap. We've actually looked at the wording in the MRC Act and HSRC. In the HSRC, Chair, because we studied all of the laws that govern research institutions, particularly when they do health-related research. Research to be conducted in relation to NAPHISA is not general research. It's very specific. Chair, as I speak, because NIOH is going to be part of NAPHISA, NIOH will conduct research. NICD is part of NAPHISA. It is going to be part of that. They will conduct research. So we'll probably ask the lawyers to see whether the wording that can accommodate MRC that says research consistent with the objects of this act. This is the wording that is used in HSRC. Research in relation to the objects of this act. Maybe it will accommodate their concerns. But I need to clarify, Chair, that NICD in its own right conducts research, NIOH in its own right conducts research, and it is not the same type of research that is conducted by MRC. It is lab-related research, precisely because NAPHISA and the nature of the work that will be done in NAPHISA is what I describe as they will be doing disease, the work of disease detectives. And I want to use that term so that it's clear that in the same way as we have detectives generally, NAPHISA, epidemiologists, do what we call, they are disease detectives. They detect, they also help with epidemic preparedness. Now, Chad, historically, they would have done work only that is limited to infectious diseases or communicable diseases. Their scope has been expanded
for the following reasons, Chair. One, because of the burden of HIV and AIDS, we see comorbidity between communicable and non-communicable diseases. We see comorbidity between HIV and AIDS and diabetes, comorbidity between cancer and HIV and AIDS. But we also see, when you talk about cancer, because human papillomavirus is a virus, it is a causal agent of cancer. So cancer is not just seen as a non-communicable disease by virtue of human papillomavirus causing cancer. It is important to understand. So disease surveillance cannot just be about infectious diseases only. So, Chair, I wanted to clarify that up front. If you read the Act of the Medical Research Council, in conducting their work as a research institution, they have been producing a report that is called Burden of Disease. Now, that Burden of Disease report, Chair, is a report that they've been doing because there was a gap, not because they are mandated in terms of the Act. The Act does not give MRC powers to conduct burden of disease, but we've been paying them to do it. But we need an appropriate institution to do that. MRC, Chair, should be doing research on traditional medicine. They have stopped that function. So I think at some stage you'll have to look at those areas where MRC should be conducting research and they are not. So in a sense, they should not pick and choose what research they like, what research they don't like. So we need an analysis of all research-related activities that they should be involved in. And some they have just stopped. And one of them is the traditional medicine research. They closed that unit. So, Chair, it's a discussion for another day. But I was just saying, NAFISA is supposed to do surveillance on diseases broadly. So in the preamble, they are proposing, Chair, that recognizing South African Medical Research Council's statutory mandate. Now, I have a copy where I did the functions of MRC, the functions of NAFISA, the functions of Human Science Research Council. But also, Chair, there is also another important institution that we all work with, and that is StatsSA. The recent demographic health survey that has been released, it's the work of multiple institutions, MRC, StatsSA, HSRC, funded by the Department of Health. But when the report is released, it is released by StatsSA, even though it was funded by us. Now, that kind of cooperation exists. It doesn't limit what StatsSA powers are. But we recognize that in terms of releasing statistics for the country, it is the competence of StatsSA. But it is a collaboration of different institutions. So in that regard, Chair, we say that the mandate of NAFISA is clearly distinct and does not amount to duplication, but also that the mandate of NAFISA includes contributing to research. We don't say contributing to research where appropriate. Hence, it cannot. We say contributing to research where appropriate. My sense, Chair, is that it means the word research cannot be referred to, but it can't be right. It can't be right because we do have institutions within NAFISA that must conduct research. The next point, Chair, that was mentioned is that there must be equitable sourcing, utilization, retention of scarce resources and skills. So at the moment, these skills exist in NIOH. People are there, they exist, their salaries are paid. In NICD, I think the same is the case, Chair. So we're not creating, we're amalgamating various institutions at the moment that fall under NHLS. Chair, under definition, they have proposed that it would be better if we had public health defined. They prefer public health service. Public health service is not a mandate that we think should be given to NAFISA. Public health service is a mandate of provincial health departments. They render public health service. NAFISA does surveillance out of the institutions that render services. It's not a service organization. They're not going to render services, Chair. Under Section 2, they are suggesting that there must be insertion of occupation and environmental health. Chair, when we engaged all stakeholders, including NIOH, they only, in the comments which I shared with the portfolio committee last week, they only heard the word occupational health. But they, I think as an afterthought, added environmental. So where we sit, Chair, we leave it to the portfolio committee to say environmental hazard are a concern, yes, indeed. But NIOH had only limited their comments to occupational health hazards and exposures. But they have subsequently, during the presentation at the portfolio committee, added the word environmental, which we do not have objections to, Chair. Under the functions of NAFISA, we actually do not agree with the recommendation that NAFISA, Chair, it's true, I struggle with the light. I apologize.
I can't see. I'm so good. I'll have to get the class. I'm so good. I'm great. I'm so
maybe the other thing to DG is that whoever typed here, it's one name. This is it's one long sentence. All words have been. I think that's the other. I'm sure Kangani, you didn't look into it and type it. Because it's really, but it's fine. I think we will.
It's recommended.
As if it is one word. But it's fine. I think we can.
So in the MRC document, it was saying it is recommended that. It was saying it is recommended that 2C be changed to occupational environmental health. We're saying, Chair, we'd incorporated occupational based on the discussions and comments, but they have subsequently come back to say we must add environmental. And I think even NIOH was making the same recommendation. We're saying we do not have an objection, Chair, to that. Under Section 3, they're proposing that NAFISA must own it or where not another public entity as for current statutory jurisdiction, must be in consultation with such an entity. Now, if you look at that, MRC actually quotes case law in the comments that they gave us. So we have found a way of saying that in terms of the competence that they have, they will not conduct research that is the competence of MRC, only that which is relevant to NAFISA. Chair, the National Health Research Committee has a mandate. It's also established in terms of the National Health Act. There are two other entities that have a mandate in terms of the Act. For instance, the coordination of research, they also come up with a essential health research. So in our view, coordination in terms of this section relates to the areas of work, communicable, non-communicable, cancer surveillance, injury, violence prevention, and occupational health. Chair, the next one is about paying gratuities, and this is a section 3, subsection 3Z, where they were making the following proposal, that they must pay gratuities and pension to its officers and employees. So our response with regard to that comment is that the payment of gratuities and pensions must be done within the ambit of the applicable legislation. So we don't think, Chair, it is necessary to be specific in the Act. Chair, the composition of the board, can I mention that, Chair, if you listen to all the presenters, they want specific representation on the board. Even in the written comments that we received, the pharmacy profession wanted representation, community representation. If we look at the nature of the work that NAFISA will be doing, we have to take cognizance of the fact that this is supposed to be a technical board. And a technical board requires certain requisite skills. And it is for that reason, Chair, that even with community representation, I would like to just bring to the attention of the portfolio committee that we've actually had difficulties on how community representation is done. Because civil society organizations present particular views. They also come with particular considerations and orientations. And in that regard, Chair, we propose that having a community representation is, we not object to that, but it means people have to understand that it will not be representation for every organization, because then you have a very large board. But we also don't need two community representation. I do not think NAFISA board should be affiliation that represent institutions. It must present skills that are needed to conduct the work, people with knowledge in the field. So MRC here was proposing that they would like to have representation. So we are saying appropriate board structure is vital for ensuring good governance, and that board members must be appointed on the basis of experience, skills, and knowledge required for proper and efficient governing structure, not stakeholder representation. So in terms of the current composition, the official has full fiduciary duties. Thus, there's been two proposals, Chair, that we've seen. On one hand, some recommend that we must have an accounting authority. Others are proposing that we must have the CEO as the accounting officer. We made a specific reference to accounting authority, which is the board that will report to the minister, precisely because the executive authority is responsible for governance and management or oversight of the entity. In respect of 5.1 D and E, Chair, the proposal here is that there must be a distinction made between executive and non-executive board members. So we have done that, Chair, in this respect. Section C, with regard to appointment of the board, MRC was proposing that, consistent with the Research Council, the term of board membership must be 3 years and the envisaged appointment be limited to one further term. This is a new proposal they are making. Chair, NAFISA is not a research council. NAFISA is going to be doing epidemic preparedness. If there's an outbreak, and I just want to share a recent experience, we had malaria outbreak in Limpopo and Mpumalanga, and it is NICD that spent time there collecting data, telling us what the extent of the problem is, how best you can respond to the problem, what resources are needed, is the basis on which we prepared a bid for Treasury to just fund that particular area. So it cannot be ad hoc. We need a permanent structure that can respond to outbreaks. National Institute for Occupational Health comments, Chair, with regard to this. Firstly, they make comments about the taking of the bill. In our view, this taking was done by a competent committee, and we cannot challenge that and will not make a comment specifically. Under preamble, they make a comment that communicable and non-communicable diseases, which should include occupational, environmental health and safety, like I was saying, in their original comment, they did not refer to this, that we do not have an objection. In fact, Chair, if you go throughout the comments, the preamble, as well as the specific section of the Act, I'll take the committee through those. They've done this insertion of occupational and environmental health and safety throughout the text, which they were presenting for the first time, not during our engagement and also not during the submission of their comments. Chair, under preamble, they are saying that we should add this bullet that says support interventions aimed at reducing the burden of communicable and non-communicable diseases and injuries and improving occupational and environmental health and safety. So during the comment period, they did not raise this specifically. But we are also mindful of the fact that we don't want NAFISA to be this mega organization that does everything for everybody and anyhow and anywhere. Their mandate is very specific, Chair. Like I said, if it's about disease detectives, the process of coming up with interventions is informed by evidence. And evidence is generated by research institutions. So by mere insertion of this, we will now be tampering with what MRC does. I'm just saying, if you look at the comments, some comments that NIOH does undermine what MRC does. So we are very cautious of just inserting. We do not think that this should be included, this support intervention. We do not think it's necessary. Chair, under definitions, they have added under surveillance, after by outbreak, workplace exposure or other risk factors. Now, if you read that whole sentence, it now loses meaning by just insertion of the word, because surveillance means an information-based activity involving collection, analysis, interpretation of large volumes of data which originate from a variety of sources to predict, observe, minimize harm caused by outbreaks, workplace exposure or other risk factors in epidemic and pandemic situations. So that sentence will have to be tweaked if we include the workplace exposure in the definition, because it changes it. It cannot just be an insertion. So reference can be made to applicable legislation, where we're of the view that they are saying will be, you know, NAFISA will be dealing with confidential patient and client information, which requires that this information be shared. I don't think the manner in which NAFISA works, they will be sharing patient information with the public. But I think it's important that if there's an outbreak, that they inform South Africans that in this region we have an outbreak of a patient X. They don't have to mention people by name. We've seen even during the Ebola outbreaks, no people's names were mentioned. This is why when Dr. Shasha presented and had names, I was very anxious, because it's never done where you disclose people's information of what they suffer from. Under Section 2.1, they are proposing, again, like I said, you'll see throughout the text, the word occupational and environmental health safety. Even under 3, if you go down 3, the inclusion is, again, occupational and environmental health safety for B and D. But under E, they say coordinate and, where appropriate, provide reference laboratory and referral services. Chair, what happens with this? When you have an outbreak, and like, for instance, when we had an Ebola outbreak, we had to work with NICD to identify what we call Ebola treatment units or Ebola treatment centers. It means when there's an outbreak, people are not treated in every facility anyhow, anywhere, especially deadly diseases of a nature of hemorrhagic fevers. For those types of diseases, it's better if you identify facilities, and where appropriate, you also identify which types of labs will conduct tests and where people will be referred to for treatment. And I think it's for that purpose. And here it says provide leadership and direction to provinces, other government departments, local authorities in respect of disease and injury surveillance and outbreak. I think this is very specific, Chair, in that we deliberately collect information from our facilities in the event that we want to understand that there's a measles outbreak. In the event of a measles outbreak, we don't confine ourselves to health facilities. We'll go to crèches or we'll go to schools. But this is the information that NICD does all the time. Sometimes a signal will come from a private facility. Somebody who has flown from another country, arrived, went to a private doctor. We also get that information. But it comes through NICD, which will be NAFISA, and this is what we're suggesting. So what we do not understand, Chair, during the comment period, NIOH had included strengthen capacity under G, strengthen capacity in public and occupational health surveillance in order to reduce the burden of disease. But they have since suggested that we must remove and occupational, I think as an afterthought. So, Chair, if you go to page 6, you'll realize that again, they include the wording, strengthen the capacity of the workforce in occupational health. We thought that was by developing advice in regarding curricula. We sometimes are cautious of being very specific in law, because you say regarding curriculum, it means if there's no curriculum, because there are institutions that determine that statutory bodies. So it's not necessary to include, in our opinion, a curriculum. Advising regarding curriculum, it's not necessary to include it here. But it is necessary to strengthen the capacity of the workforce in occupational health. The strengthening of cross-border, regional and international collaboration on communicable and non-communicable injury and violence. Chair, this is what what they do best. NICD has a BSL4 laboratory which handles, it's a lab that handles what I call pathogens, dangerous pathogens that are also used in bio warfare. In other countries, they actually specify that in the law. We have chosen not to. So we provide support to the SADC region, but also to other countries. During the Ebola chair, just to elaborate on this, we set up a mobile lab in West Africa to contain the Ebola so that it does not spread. So it's probably one of the things that this institution does best, and they will continue to do so. The rest of the other chair, again, includes occupational and environmental health. Under NCHEL, there's this inclusion of provide technical support to different spheres of government. It's an improvement of the language, organized labor and employment bodies. I don't think we need to specify organized labor because it should be for health workers, including managers. So if we specify organized labor, we should see all spheres of government and other regulatory bodies on surveillance of communicable diseases. That organized labor for this purpose is not necessary. To coordinate research and where appropriate conduct research, including operational research. Chair, I think it says coordinate research and where appropriate. We have a problem in specifying operational research because it's not what is intended with NAFISA, and I think these are issues that MRC raises as a concern, and would not support that. There's no need, actually, to specify this. Strengthen advocacy, social mobilization. This is a part, Chair, that community representations were calling for. Having advocacy, social mobilization, and partnership. Our view is that instead of having two community representations, maybe you can have formal processes of working with community organizations. And perhaps this is where we have to strengthen advocacy, social mobilization, and partnerships to address communicable, non-communicable. This is where I think is relevant, not just representation in the board. Under ARCHER, coordinate where appropriate, provide training and technical information on health issues. Here it's provide training. This is very specific. NICD trains not only South Africans. NIOA trains not only South Africans. So it's not about coordinating. They provide training. And I think it should read as provide training and technical information on health issues to health professional, governmental, and regulatory bodies. And I would be hesitant to call people lay leaders. I'm not sure, Chair, what is intended with lay leaders. I think we talk about communities as to lay leaders or community health workers. I wouldn't support that wording, Chair. Under teacher, maintain accredited reference and specialized laboratories for pathogens. That exposure, Chair, this is very specific. It's specialized laboratories for pathogens. And this is the example I was using about BSL-4 lab. This is a specialized lab, and this law is about that. And it actually comes with certain responsibilities, Chair. It means that lab must be conducted in a particular way. It must be secured. You don't want an organism escaping from that lab because it's a dangerous pathogen. So this is very specific. You don't want to just add exposure because it changes the meaning. This is very specific. It's about specialized laboratory for pathogens, detection, disease and injury surveillance and so on. Now the injury, Chair, when you have nuclear spills, for instance, this is also an institution that will also assist. So you need specialized laboratories for that, for outbreak response, but also to provide evidence so that we prevent and control these diseases. The next chair is about, it says specialized laboratories will not be limited to pathogen detection, but this particular clause is for that purpose. I don't think we need to change it in that regard. Monitor trends in occupational and environmental health and safety. Again, it's repeated, even the next one, Chair, even subsequent ones. Now, Chair, if you go to I, after X, it says specialized analytical laboratory services to support. Now, if you read all of that text that is in red, when we received comments from NIOH, they made a proposal to say that we need specialized analytical labs. But they've changed the wording to say under Roman 3, analysis and measurement of hazardous contaminants. Now, where it was confusing for us with this comment, on one hand they say it shouldn't be specialized analytical labs, but on the other hand it says analysis. So analysis and measurement of hazardous contaminants. So those analyses are going to be in a lab. So we're looking at the word analytical in a generic sense, not in a general, I mean, not in a technical sense. Sometimes people limit analytical lab to chemistry lab, and it's not necessarily the case. It's where they do analytical work of various forms. So they are proposing a chair in this respect. They say analytical may be too restricted. So we are of the view that in this particular case we do not see the restriction. On the next page, Chair, under 8.2, 3.3D, they refer to cooperating with persons and institutions undertaking basic and applied research. Again, Chair, when you include applied, you start interfering with, you know, delete so that the clause refers to all types of research. I think it is very specific, it's research, and it talks about cooperation. When you cooperate with person and institutions, is undertaking research, it's cooperating with institutions. So if you say basic and applied, it means if it's any other type of research, then they can't cooperate. It limits the research. We're very specific about basic research because basic research is normally conducted in laboratories. Appoint officers and employees on such conditions aligned to the Department of Public Service Administration. Chair, we don't have It says, as it may deem fit, aligned to. We were saying subject to the relevant labor legislation. So if we just limit it to Department of Public Service, we're of the view that other laws must apply. Whether should we say subject to relevant labor legislation, or whether we must specify Department of Public Service Administration. We leave that to Parliament to guide us. The rest, Chair, is again environmental health and safety. It's repeated if you check in all the comments, and we don't have an objection to inclusion of the word environmental health. The next one, Chair, is the public health specialist training. Chair, here they are suggesting that the following divisions under the establishment of NAFISA, there must be healthcare process improvement and health informatics. Chair, in the nature of the work they do, they have information. I don't think you need to write departments into law, because that's an organizational arrangement and it will be restrictive. If they need to call it something else, it means we'll have to come and change the law. If you want to call it Health Information Systems Management Department, it means we'll have to come and change. So to describe departments in the law, I think, is restrictive. Under Section 3, it suggests that coordinate reference lab and referral services. It says this seemingly applies only to referral processes related to labs. In fact, Chair, it is. It can be about general patient referral system. That is the competence of the Department of Health, provincial departments of health. It is not the competence of NAFISA. Advise the minister on strategies. They are proposing that the minister must be advised on strategies to improve health, as well as healthcare service design. Again, it is not the purpose of this act, nor the competence of NAFISA to do that. Under 3.1 on page 9, they propose that to analyze improved healthcare service delivery via the use of system thinking, lean management, plan, do system. Now, if you want to use other models, there are different improvement models, Chair, that are used. You can't specify one particular one. There are lean methods. There are so many approaches that are used. So we won't support that, Chair. On page 10, the South African Civil Society Coalition for Women, Adolescent and Children's Health. Here, Chair, they were proposing that there must be specific experts on adolescent child, women's health included. And again, it's about the composition of the board. Like I was saying, if you look at this board, it will have everybody and anything and everything. And our view is that it must be appropriate skills based on the work that has to be done. Under Professor Shasha, he was specifically proposing coverage, and that there must be roles and specific mechanisms that should be used to utilize coordination, dissemination of research. He also said the bill does not adequately address modern data considerations in relation to ICT. Like I said, we can't write ICT into law. It changes, Chair. A couple of years ago, we did not have social media. We did not have iPads. But we use those now in the health service. We use apps. Now, immediately you write something into law like that, it becomes extremely restrictive. It means as technology evolves, every time we have to come back to Parliament and amend. So those are administrative matters that I think may not necessarily have to be included in the Act. The Public Service Accountability Monitor, Chair, they propose here that the bill does not mention health promotion in the preamble. Chair, I have brought here with me copies of institutions that must be established in relation to the implementation of national health insurance. In fact, NAFISA is mentioned in the NHI policy, in the NHI white paper. And one of those institutions is the South African National Health Commission. Now, that is the body that is supposed to be tasked with health promotion and disease prevention. It is supposed to be educating the public, and it is supposed to be a body that is inclusive. I brought all of that so that the committee can see all the institutions that are to be established. Our view is that it is not the purpose and the competence of NAFISA. Under Section 2, they are proposing that the bill should consider provision of Section 24. And again, it's also about environmental health, as far as I understand, and how NAFISA will work with other institutions. That has been referred to repeatedly, Chair. Under 3.1W and 3.1L, they're proposing that the bill require that reports must be produced according to specific divisions. I think there are two types of reports. One is annual reports. In terms of annual reports, that's the mandate of Parliament. Any of the institutions, they have to present their annual reports to Parliament. So I think this was intended. But as to other reports, Chair, those are the kind of reports, like I said, when there's an outbreak, that report must be made available and the public must be informed. I wasn't sure about the principle of a report being binding, Chair, and I'll probably talk to that on page 11. It says there's no mention on whether recommendations like control measures for disease outbreak, mitigating risk hazards of injury and violence, cancer workplace, are of a binding nature, or how the department should implement. Let me share the experience of Ebola. When you had an Ebola outbreak, and also yellow fever in Congo recently, when you had an outbreak, especially Ebola, what we picked up, what made Ebola spread quickly in West Africa, Chair, was burial practices. Now, burial practices, if you want to talk to communities about burial practices, you don't make it anything binding to the department. You talk to the chiefs, you talk to people who lead villages, to talk to communities on how they should deal with burial practices. So I wasn't sure about binding. I think it's also because of lack of understanding of the nature of reports that are produced. If there's an outbreak, we immediately said these things must happen. And it becomes, if we say people must wash their hands, it's a communication to all, the whole of society. I'm just saying when there are outbreaks, I think we need to, I guess there was probably not a clear understanding of the kind of reports that are produced. Governance and control, here there's a proposal that criteria, again, community members' representation. I've already expressed the view, Chair, on that one. And to say that the board is the accounting authority and that the CEO is the administrative head as well as the board member. So the CEO is a member of the board by virtue of his position, but the CEO is accountable to the board. So the recommendation with respect to oversight, Chair, our view is that we've got a lot of NGOs that play an oversight role. We think that there are a number of institutions that are established in law, Chapter 9 institutions, but also Parliament, that must be the sole institution that you are accountable to. NGOs can also play that role, but accounting must be to Parliament and other relevant institutions. Chair, with the next one is Health Promotion and Development Foundation. Like I said, for this one, Chair, my advice is that they can be part of the National Health Commission. Chair, that concludes our comments with regard to the NAFISA bill.
Thank you, teacher. Honourable members, there is the comments, the response from the comments made by stakeholders last week. Can I check if there are any takes on the support? Honourable Mahlale. Honourable Ndaba.
No, thanks. My first comment is the way the document is written. It's very clumsy. It's very clumsy and difficult to read and follow sometimes. That's one. Two, there are, in most instances you are saying this, your comment, they just say, no, this is new. This is new. In any way, it should be new because they were presenting to the portfolio committee, not to yourself. So I wanted to view on what they are presenting to the portfolio, not what they presented to you when you're dealing with the bill yourself. Well, the bill is no more with the department. The bill is with Parliament. And then being in Parliament, which means every individual stakeholder has got a right to present any view. They don't have to repeat the same views that they presented to yourself. Because that becomes a recycling. But they've got the right to raise any matter, more importantly, new matters. Not matters that they raise with yourself all the time. They can emphasize matters that they've raised with yourself if they feel strong about it and you have not considered them yourself. But it doesn't mean that they therefore have to be limited to what they raise with you when they come to the control of it. So the expectation was that we are going to say, what is your view on those issues that, whether they are new, but we want to hear your views on them as the department. So that by the time we take our own views, we've also considered your views and their views. I'm raising this because in most things you said these are new, and then, but sometimes you begin to elaborate, and we are not sure whether the elaboration is in support or it's against sometimes. Sometimes you give examples on a general and pass, you know, without specifically saying, no, on this matter, we feel very strong that no, the committee should not consider it because of the following reason. And it should be reflected in writing. Unlike if you responded now, you responded very clumsy. It was a very hasty process. Maybe you were taken by surprise that you were calling him so quickly. And then you didn't have enough time to prepare for that. Yeah. It will be good that you just do go back and do some thorough response for each and every one of them, so that we are able to have something in writing and be able to compare the notes at the end of the day when we do our own deliberation as a portfolio committee. One example, for example, DG, that I just want you to elaborate. On section 3, 1L, one of the functions of NAPISA is that it says the NAPISA must support the health sector response, must make recommendations to government on control measures for diseases outcome, and then mitigating risk and hazards of injury and violence, cancer and workplace exposure. And one of the presenters is saying, no, we must, this recommendation must not just be a mere recommendation. There must be a system that compels government to take this recommendation seriously. And we are saying, no, they don't understand what this recommendation is all about. Hence, they are saying, talking about bindings and all those matters. Can you just clarify that? Well, I also don't understand what you are saying equally. Because when you say they must recommend on control measures in relation to outbreak, or whether they must recommend on mitigating circumstances and hazard and injury and violence and all those things, and government just doesn't take it seriously, then what becomes the value of those recommendations? If government will just, okay, they've recommended, fine, it's fine. That's what these stakeholders are arguing. So we need to get an understanding as to what is the nature of the expected response by government when such recommendations are made, so that you understand whether they will be taken seriously. I'm not necessarily that it must be in the bill, maybe it should be part of the regulations and what and all, but there must be some degree of assurance that when such recommendations are made, government will be able to act on it. And if they don't act on it, what will be the consequences of that, of the government not acting? How do you hold it accountable if it doesn't act on those recommendations? But that's just one issue that I felt I need just to raise and hear what is your view on that. Without going into details about all the general that has been made by yourself in response to some of the issues that you have presented.
Honourable Ndaba, then to the Honourable Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson. I don't want to repeat some of the things that Honourable Masalela has raised. But I also had a concern, Chair, with regards to where the DG, in terms of the response, was saying these things were not raised with them during the presentation, because I was getting worried, Chair, that even myself, in terms of the functions of NAPISA, I had a concern regarding the relations to the potential loss of South African sovereignty. When you look at NAPISA can get into agreements with external agencies and donors without government approval, I'm very worried. And as I was reading this, I was asking myself, so what does that mean? Does it mean that what is written and presented to us, it's final? And what would be the purpose then of us having deliberations on the bill and public hearings? And so, because I think the purpose of us having that is to get inputs so that what people are raising and also our consent must be taken into consideration. I've got many issues, Chair, that I have a consent when I sat and read the bill over the weekend, but I don't think I can raise them now, but I was just concerned about many things. Thank you very much. In terms of funding, under finance of NAPISA, I have many questions, Chair. Maybe I'll have to raise them, not today. And for now, we can deal with what is presented before us. Thank you very much.
Honourable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I was amazed that things are supposed to be new. And not that they are wrong or right, it's just that they are raised anew, and there is no comment about whether they are right or wrong, whether they should be excluded or included. And that was aptly raised by my colleague here. But they need to be looked at afresh, and comments made on as to why you think they are new and they are incorrect, or they must be excluded because they were raised late or what. Then the checking of the bill. It says here that the checking was done by some people, blah, blah, blah. And Schedule 4 of the Constitution listed health services as a function, as a functional area in concurrence with between national and provincial legislation and so on and so on. That does not explain what is this concurrence and what does it imply. Is it acceptable in the bill? Or where does it show that? Or is it just for sake of information and it doesn't mean anything? The reason is that when the bill is done, we don't want it to be amended 2 months later or 3 months later. It must be watertight for a long, long time. But the way it is, I don't have an idea whether you agree that it is actually a concurrent competency of national and province, and what are the specific tasks or spheres of competence in this concurrency, and which one overrides which one when what happens. So all those things need to be clarified so that when tomorrow we are not arguing that, by the way, what it meant is you should have done this, it's in your the sphere of competence, and somebody said, no, I didn't know, and so on. So that also needs to be clearly elucidated. Then there is the question of strengthening across-border regional and international collaboration on communicable diseases and non-communicable diseases. Again, the answer is that this is a new issue. And I don't know, maybe it was a machine that typed, this is a new issue, this is a new issue. It was just like a stamp you press and this comes out, and so if you don't understand on the other side. Maybe all those things, they are very important to be dismissed like that. So maybe we should go back one by one of all these new issues to be redone and reinterpreted and strengthened. The other one, just coordinating research where appropriate, conduct research including operational research. Then you say operational research is a form of research, so there is no need to specifically include it. But I think you are including all the research spheres that has to be done. Why is this one not important, although it is a research sphere? So maybe there was something wrong, or something that we don't understand, and we would like to understand why it should not be included. When it is said it is a research sphere, but it is not supposed to be included. I think the rest are almost similar, or the similar vein, similar explanation. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chips.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first let me say that I don't think you answered us on why the one community person on the board and how that person will be selected. I think we didn't answer us on that one. And also,
Can you please, Medical Research Council is only responsible for traditional medicine research only. I think that's what you were saying. Can you just explain on that, because I didn't understand that. In fact, it's their only responsibility. Also, just wanted to check if the bill is just aimed at adjusting the objects and duties of National Health Laboratory and Service, and strengthening the governance and fundamental mechanism of National Health Laboratory Service. Can you just, yeah. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, DG. I just so that you respond in all of this. I was a bit concerned in your response. You say aye. Now I'm not quite sure whether is it your view or is it the view of the department. It's only that I thought I've marked just to make an example about that. Well, Honourable Mahlalela has passed into the clumsiness of the, but again, this presentation is not going to assist us in moving forward. Because remember that after this, we are to deliberate. So again, laboring into, if it is a new matter, yes, it is a new matter, but what is your view as the department? So it is in that context that I do think that personally I feel that we'll have to redo it with responses that are going to assist us in deliberating. Remember, this is law, and so that even the state law advisors are able to. There is no backwards and forwards. Law is very tricky. This is a highly technical thing. So I just wanted to just echo those, but more saying you need to. We would have appreciated if you would have said, no, we are not ready. It's too soon calling us. Give us time. So that we are able to see in that time, rather than just coming and give us. That is why it gives an impression that you were not taking this process seriously. I don't think it's that. The only mistake is not to communicate and say, with these responses, we really need to, because they are to assist us. The last comment which I would have thought you would also in your responses, there are serious allegations that have been made on the department and the office in particular. Professor Shasha, the gentleman from the cancer registry was here the last time. We have thought that today you just take us through that on some of it, but I think those allegations are really serious because they touches into the integrity, the capacity and the ability of the department to respond on issues that are then being sent to. So I was expecting that after this, you then come to the administrative issues that were raised in terms of the department. In particular, the gentleman from the registry, cancer registry. So I thought it's important that I raise those issues so that when you respond, you respond having taken note of that. I'm not quite sure, honourable members, whether should we really allow the DG to respond now or to then say, fine, these are the areas and as the committee will have to sit and look into which date should they come back, but it's up to the it's up to the to the DG on some of the areas. I must really say that I'm a bit disappointed by the state of the responses that we have received from the department to your office. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honourable members. Let me start by apologising for the quality of work that has been submitted. It is not in keeping with the work that we produce in my office. But to say that, yes, indeed, this was extreme short notice, Chair, as you may recall. We left here on Thursday, we're in Limpopo on Friday, and Saturday. So we only had Sunday to prepare, and also to prepare for the minister for these other engagements, and I apologize for that. Chair, when we shared the comments with the committee, comments from all other stakeholders besides those who presented to Parliament, I thought we needed to see the amount of work that has gone into this, and also we wanted to also share with you the minutes. Like I said, we made copies of the minutes so that you see the kind of discussions and deliberations that we've had with the stakeholders that presented before Parliament. We've shared with you every single comment by every single stakeholder, and perhaps for Parliament it may not be relevant, but we thought maybe it was of value so that you can have a fair sense of the number of stakeholders that have responded. They may not have presented to Parliament, but the nature of the comments they made would probably be of use to Parliament, and I'm hoping that it was also not a waste of time because we shared that on Thursday. So when we prepared these inputs, it was with those comments that we shared with yourselves in mind. We shared that on Thursday, and we shared that deliberately because when we came, we said because these things we had already dealt with and we made elaborate comments, but we can still repeat that, and I think we probably add in judgment. Chair, with regard to these points that you raised, I actually asked one of the secretariat, in particular WHO. I brought WHO, I asked them to respond and tell me what happened. I've got that, but I also have an email from Professor Freeman so that you have it on record, what the situation was and what the process was. And I would like you to carefully consider these responses because it's quite clear that, and I would be hesitant to have Parliament be used as a lobby process for people to get jobs, even if the processes are inappropriate. This is a process that was followed. There was an advert, there were terms of reference. People were interviewed, they submitted, and it's elaborated. And I know that it's normally not proper to share people's scoring sheets and adjudication, but I thought I should do that for the record so that you know how this adjudication was done. But also, an official who was responsible for all of this, I have asked him to put it in writing. It's on record, and I want you to go back and look at it. I wasn't sure, Chair, whether we wanted to elaborate on those. This is for Professor Hepps, and I'm placing that on record. With regard to Dr. Shasha, Chair, I'm sure I'm going to have to also disclose what has happened historically with the work that Dr. Shasha did. Dr. Shasha used to work with Dr. Ramphela Mamphela, and they had asked for us to give them $8 million to do community-related work. And at the time, they wanted us to just give them money like that. And in accordance with public service processes, Chair, we do not give people money like that. They must follow proper processes. They must follow proper procedures. And they must go through the tendering process. And I can get the DFID reports. And Dr. Shasha was subsequently employed by HLSP. And HLSP was not happy with his performance, and they
released him from work. And these emails that he refers to are emails where he wanted me to intervene. Now, if somebody is in a professor chair, his work must talk for itself. It is not my duty as the DG to be defending people when they are fired and they've not delivered. It is not my work. I do not do that, Chair. I think it would be inappropriate. I did not even think that this is a platform to be presenting that, but I am presenting it formally. And I will be sharing all those records with you. And perhaps you can ask, how did they use the man himself and Dr. Ramphele Mampela at the time? Because DFID was not the only funder. There were a whole lot of other funders. But to date, we still have not seen what is it that they did in Eastern Cape. What report are they producing? The other point, Chair, this data that Dr. Shasha presented, he has presented to the minister, he has presented to the department. The department, it has actually informed the process of improving how community health workers should work. He has met with the minister, he has presented to the minister. On record, I can say that. But as to why specifically I should respond, he must follow the proper processes, Chair. We do not just appoint people on the basis of them sending an email and therefore we say they'll be appointed. I think I'll be coming back to this same parliament to respond as to why I didn't follow proper procedures. I thought I needed to respond to these particular issues. But as to Professor Hebs, I've got on record, Chair. You can read for yourself. Chair, I would like to go back to specific issues that were raised. The first one is about the matters that we did not respond adequately to, and I would like to thank the committee that will go back and express our opinions, but our opinions, Chair, will not differ from the opinions that were presented to us when we went out for public comment, because we have gone back to do elaborate work. But also, you'll see, Chair, how much work has gone into this. I've got minutes, which I said the team must make copies of every single meeting we had with various stakeholders, MRC, NIOH, various stakeholders. And even in those minutes, you'll see that we held particular views. For instance, when we started, Chair, when I say I, what did I mean? I had, and I'll use the word I, in this particular case, Chair, in one of the meetings, I had recommended that NIOH, for instance, was not suitable to be part of NAFISA. And the experts in the meeting said, no, it must be part of NAFISA. You'll see in the minutes. We've gone back and I said, I take advice from the experts, and it is on those basis that NIOH was part of this. If you read minutes, we've actually traveled this journey where I had particular views from my understanding, looking at resources, and I have had to review those based on the comments, based on what technical people were advising us to do. So the one about loss of sovereignty, Chair, I do not think that it is the intention of us to sell our institutions. In fact, NAFISA is a very strategic institution for the country. An NICD, as I speak, is a strategic institution. I have said it before and I'll say it again, that when countries go and engage in nuclear warfare, engage in bioterrorism, these are the types of institutions they use, Chair. Where I sit today, I chair IOC, Chair. IOC, the work that I do, is the work where we go to Iraq, we go to Syria, Aleppo, we look at the chemical spills and so on. It's work that I understand fully, that you can never hand over to any foreign institution. You can never do that as a country. It's strategic information, but it is also information that must be guarded, not because it is about diseases, but because it has industrial applications as well. So when the committee deliberates on NAFISA, you have to understand that it is not just an institution, and it is also not about people saying research. It is the products of what comes out of NAFISA that I think need to be guarded in this country. With regard to funding, Chair, we have made specific proposals. The first area of funding, as it is now, NICD, NIOH are at risk. Because every time NHLF is at risk, Chair, provinces don't pay. It means those institutions do not have money. You may be aware, Chair, that recently I wrote a letter again, for the second time, for non-payment and the risk that we are sitting with. It is for this reason that we have to protect the institution. Institutions like this cannot thrive on the basis of donor funding. Institutions like this must get funding that is directly appropriated. It cannot be that NIOH is funded because we want lab services to be sold to provinces. It cannot be. NAFISA must be funded directly, Chair. And this is what we're appealing for. And equally, NHLS must be funded directly. So collaboration with other institutions, yes, this is what we're saying, Chair. And I would like to say that we have to define what the collaboration must be. With regard to operational research, we're saying, Honourable Member, that when you specify operational research in law, it means all other types of researches cannot be conducted. We're saying it has to be generic so that it's not restrictive. But if it's the view of Parliament that it should be retained, we'll accept that. The community person on the board, what we're saying, Honourable Member, is that the proposal here, if you look at every single presenter, they want representation on the board. The ladies who presented about women's health, children, adolescent, were proposing representation on the board. And that is an NGO. Every single institution that presents wants representation on the board. Now, my appeal, Chair, is that there's a specific section on the in this bill that says we must have partnerships, advocacy and social mobilization. Why we have that weight is because we want NAFISA to consciously work with community-based organizations so that there is social mobilization, there is partnership, there is education. At the moment, NICD is just a scientific entity with no direct link with communities, and we're deliberately saying that. If having a community representative on the board will facilitate that, by no means. But to have two people, Chair, is what we had a problem with. We're not of the view that we need two people to be represented. MRC Research, Chair, I was saying, and Honourable Members, MRC conducts all sorts of research, including traditional medicine, but they stopped that. They stopped that. They also stopped health systems research. Our view is that that research must continue. It must continue. They cannot pick what they like to conduct research in. They must do all types of research. It's their mandate. It's their competence. The function of NHLS, indeed, Chair, that we are separating diagnostic lab services for purposes of treatment of people. If you go to a lab, they draw your blood, they check what you suffer from, they prescribe medicines you need. This is what NHLS should do. But it cannot perform the functions of NAFISA, which is mainly public health. If there's a cholera outbreak in Musina, because of migration of people coming from Zimbabwe for whatever reason, it is NAFISA that will respond. And it is an institution that we say needs to be specifically created for that purpose. Presentations, Chair, like I said, we will revise, and again, I apologize. We will redo and also resubmit. With regard to allegations, I've dealt with them.
No, I think it's as I was listening to you, DG, attentively. Yes, you gave us the minutes, but today what you expected was that at least there must be a on the issues that have arose, which I knew we must then get, so that even when we look, we have to go back to the minutes, we are able to have an understanding. The reason that we were trying to be thorough in an area that is on an area that is very technical, and it is our responsibility that as lawmakers we will try our level best to understand, and we will go back to the department. The responsibility of the department is to ensure that it empowers us, it assists us. And therefore, you as the DG being knowledgeable, you have to bear with us. I think I need honourable members to stress that. You have to bear with us within a bill that is highly technical. Because we don't want the academics, we don't want when we have done all the work, then we are thrown with an egg on our face. That is why I then said even the state law advisor must try to understand, and therefore you coming back with those is going to be very important. I have a level of discomfort. You refer us to the minutes that you gave. That is fine. It's a good thing that you have done. But we expected your office to explain if it's new thing, why it is new, what is it that you think, not just to say it is new. I think I need to make that your office to understand. The second part, which is the whole administrative, and I think it's correct that you have been able to respond on those things, because remember that those are some of the presentation submissions were recorded. So when people come back saying we didn't take those things serious, we are able to then say no. So it's two things. As we have said to the presenters that we are dealing with the bill, but they have raised that. That's why I said they've raised very serious issues. The second issue, which I think maybe it will be on our. When we deliberate the issue of the community representation, the issue of the NGOs, we'll deliberate on that as the committee to see what you have said it correctly, that we are to be exposed to the opinion of the department. So we want, as you will be going back, you really understand what is it that we want to do. So referring us to minutes, I think you are bothering and being a bit unfair to us. We will go, so we personally, as a chair, I must not get a view that says, but I gave you minutes. So when I'm saying this is new, you should have known. It is new, you are saying it. It is new, obviously. It's not part of what is submitted to us. We will, and maybe on behalf of the committee, as the chair, let me also apologize for it. Maybe I've exerted pressure. But in moving forward in future, feel free to say, Chair, for us to produce work that is tangible and you are able to read through, you are able to make decisions as lawmakers, can you give us time? I think we would have appreciated if you have. I see that there is Honorable James, Honorable Mathalela.
Thank you, Chair. I still feel I haven't been answered. How did you select this one person, the one community person on the board? I still want clarity on that. I hear that not everybody can be on that board. That I understand. Not all the all organizations that preserve the relevant board. I understand that you cannot all be on board. But how did you come to the decision of this one community person? You know, what's the difference so that made this one the only one that could sit on that board? And now you're saying two. I'm not sure. Oh, can you just ask me that? Thank you.
Okay.
No, thanks. I'm not sure whether the DG on the minutes was referring to this document. Because that's the document that we received. And this document is not real healthy. Because, for example, if you say noted, agreed, disagreed, you don't know what that is being noted. You don't know what is being disagreed upon. For example, when you go to M, it says something, you go and read the bill in M, there's no relationship of what is here and what is referred to as M in this document. So I don't know what is this document and how is it supposed to help us. If I try to read it, it's not helping anybody at all. And there is where it says responses. You don't know what it is responding to, because there are many submissions here. But it just say comment, no, disagree, agree, to be considered. You don't know what is being disagreed, what is being commented, what is being considered. Where it's referred to sections, you go to the sections, there's no relationship between what is said here and what is in the section. That's one issue. One was reading, yeah, and it get me confused because I did not understand what is the purpose of this document, because I found it difficult to relate to it when I was reading it. I'm not sure that DG was referring to this document, which has got submissions from various stakeholders and responses at the end, which responses is very difficult to relate to the submission. I'm not sure whether you are referring to that, or there's another document that I might not have seen. But the issue that we're raising, it was not about what the public have said to you. We're raising about the issues that they're saying it's new. One say, no, new as they are, we'll have love to understand what you're thinking. That's the issue. That's the main reason. That's the main issue that we are raising. Not the repeated issues that are being raised before, but the issue is about where you keep on saying new. It was never raised. New. It was never raised. And therefore, and that's the main issue that we want to understand. The main issue is that what the position that we want to understand is on the issues that isn't raised with us. Not the issues that we raise with yourself. Those were the issues, how you dealt with them. It has got nothing, it has very little to do with us. Because you have dealt with them, because it was your own process. But this one that we are engaging on last week, it's our process. So we wanted to understand what is your comment on those issues that we raised in our own process, not your process. Even the minutes, to some extent they will help us, but to a better degree, they are not going to help us because they are not relevant to us. What is relevant to us is the bill and the comment from that we receive from the public. That's what is more relevant. We can use the other minutes as a reference if we want to use them, but they don't have much value as opposed to the value of the process that we engaged upon last week, where we wanted to get what is your view on what the public presented to us. Because what they presented to you, we thought we have responded to them, and then we have also incorporated what you think is necessary in the bill. And therefore, what they might be raising new things to us is what we are interested in. That's the main issue, Chair.
I just want to, so that we don't end up repeating ourselves. I think Honourable Mahlalela has summarized it correctly in ensuring that we are then able to move forward. But what I think it should, just to clarify, that in these minutes, we'll receive this versus what we were given for us just to look into that. But in the main, it's what I think he has says lately, the latter part, that they presented things to us and which you are saying they have not. What is your view? Which is not what is here. So my recommendation, honourable members, will be that I think the department has understood what is our major fundamental challenge with the presentation, as it is in terms of the issues that have been raised. We will then give you time to look into that, respond appropriately. Where there are the members have raised that there is some areas in terms of one, if maybe we have misunderstood you, it should be fine. We will still deliberate whether we are comfortable with one. I don't know whether members want that to be done now or when then they then again come back with a more written response. We are then able to then go through this with a fine comb so that we are able to deliberate. I thought honourable members that honourable Tembekwe.
Thank you very much. My view is it doesn't help us when we try to arrive at hush-hush conclusions to convince us to look at things differently, but rather giving them enough time to respond on the issues as they are presented today. Thank you.
So we're all agreeing that they are to come back. That we're all agreeing. And as the Secretariat will look into, will follow the necessary processes. Did you, on some of the areas that may be?
Chair, again, maybe within our response, when we resubmit, Chair, we will include our understanding of community representation. We'll respond to that as part of our overall response. Just for clarity, Chair, during the presentations last week, a question arose from among the members, and in particular from Honourable Fish, as to whether MRC, NIOH, were they consulted? I think it came up repeatedly, were they consulted by the department? Did they meet with the department? That was raised. Now, these minutes is a record of those consultations.
No, all right. Thank you very much. It's quite a challenging to be a lawmaker at times. You really feel the heat when you are dealing with such complex issues. Yes, we will thank you very much, DG. We will communicate to members on the next time. We will, so you don't have a problem if we make copies for ourselves.
No,
oh, okay.
We actually brought this specifically
for that.
For the committee.
Okay. Okay. No, thank you very much, members. I think we have
Chair, can I ask, can we get a sense how much time we're given? Because, like we said, this was rushed, and frankly, I only read this as I was in the plane to present, so we need adequate time, and if you can be informed.
It will be adequate, don't worry. We will come back to you. I think by tomorrow we'll come back on which the meeting is at honourable members, the meeting is at 9:30 and in M46. Remember that one tomorrow. I know, is it that cold?
Yeah.
Thank you. We can break. I think what
so just for tomorrow, Chair, I'm not sure whether the document I have, everyone does have it, doesn't have an access. The one that I have, it might be an oversight to the person that gives me. I'm not sure whether members, the one that they receive, does have the annexures, because the report on annexures, I'm able to refer to those annexures. If you can be given those annexures, please.
Well, I don't know, well, I will talk with you, because I don't even have that thing. Oh, okay. Okay, the meeting stand adjourned. Thank you very much.
Okay.